Ezekiel chapter 3 tonight for a few moments. If you'll go with us in verse number 1, if you're able to stand, we'll read a few verses of Scripture. You know, I appreciate the church, people just minding God and testifying, and we'll have revival this week, and we'll have preaching, but, you know, come in with the mind to worship, amen? And if you testify and God leads you, amen, in the revival meeting, that's always in order. Can I get an amen right there? And always make, you know, keep it positive, can I say that? And keep it on the Lord. But I tell you, we want to come and worship Him. Amen. That's so important that we worship God. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible said, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words that thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you for the next few moments, if you would, to touch us and help us to preach the Word of God for your honor and your glory. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice the first phrase of our text tonight. As the Bible says, "Moreover, he said unto me." And I'm preaching these messages entitled "Lessons Learned from Preachers." And here we have the prophet Ezekiel. He is God's man, and he's going to have God's message to deliver to God's people. And the Bible says, "Moreover, he said unto me." And when I read that phrase, I thought about the anointed preacher, the God-called preacher, versus manufactured preachers. And we are living in a time when I'm afraid that there's a lot of manufactured preachers. Amen? But at the same time, there are men that has been God-called, and they are God's sent. I think one of the reasons for preaching this series of sermons is because that it will let all of us get a little bit closer of a look into a man of God's ministry, his call. I'm not talking about my ministry in particular. I'm talking about preachers across the board. Amen. Loving the men of God that preaches the Word of God to us. We have a man of God that's going to come and preach the Word of God to us this week. I think about Jubilee, when we have so many different preachers that come through, and the help and the encouragement and the strength that we get by sitting around and hearing men of God that have the anointing of God upon their life and that are God called. But you know, a manufactured preacher is one that he has to announce himself. He has to make an announcement about himself. He has to promote himself. But you'll notice here that when a man of God is called, the Bible says, "Moreover, he said unto me." I'm telling you, when God calls a man, he's going to speak to that man. Amen? And that man doesn't have to announce anything about himself. If there's going to be any announcement about the preacher, it's going to be God doing the announcing and not the preacher. Amen. What I'm saying is, Ezekiel did not step out and announce himself. Ezekiel stepped out and announced the message that God gave him, because that's what God called preachers do. They preach the message that God lays upon their heart, and God announces the preacher. God announces Ezekiel. He announced John the Baptist. Amen. He announced the Apostle Paul.
and so forth and so on. But when we come to this text tonight, what I want us to learn, the lesson that we learn from this preacher, this man of God, is we see a genuine burden that this preacher has upon him. God is going to put the burden not only on Ezekiel, but he's going to put the burden inside of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is going to have to deliver the burden that God gives him. You know, that's something that's missing in our pulpits today, is there's a lot of preaching going on, but not a lot of preaching with a burden. Amen? I'm telling you, listen, when a preacher gets up to preach, he's not to get up with a motive to impress people. Amen? He's not to get up with a motive to try to promote himself. But there should be one motive, and that is to deliver the burden that God has placed upon his heart. Now, sometimes that burden is received, and sometimes that burden is rejected. But nevertheless, the man of God finds comfort and he finds peace in not what the people say or do, but he finds comfort and peace if he's obedient and he does what God has called him to do. Amen? And so we want to look at Ezekiel for a few moments tonight, and we want to consider here the lesson learned from this preacher talking about the burden of a real man of God. And we notice here in verse number 1 down to verse number 3, I want you to see the role that Ezekiel is given. The Bible says in verse number 1, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. Now notice the command here in verse number 1. The command is to eat this rose or this roll here. Now what is the cause? Why would God tell Ezekiel to eat this roll? Well, he said in verse number 1, eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. You see, God doesn't give a command without a cause. Amen? And the command is, I want you to eat what I give you. I want you to eat what I put before you, because I want you to go and I want you to speak to the house of Israel. Now, let me say this tonight. When a man of God is given something from God to give to the people of God, he doesn't have an option. Amen? You notice in verse number 1 that God doesn't hand Ezekiel a menu and ask him what it was that he would like to choose and serve up to the house of Israel. Oh no, I'm telling you, God had a meal. God had something planned for Ezekiel, and the command is, I want you to eat it because I want you to go give it to my people. You see, when the preacher gets up to preach, sometimes he never knows what that burden is from Sunday in and Sunday out. Sometimes he may know a week or two ahead what God has put on his heart, but sometimes, most of the time, he doesn't know what God's doing from one Sunday to the next. All he knows is he's to preach what God lays on his heart. Amen? And so there's the command. There's the cause. Notice the compliance in verse number 2. The Bible says, Ezekiel said, so I opened my mouth and he calls me to eat that roll. Amen? I'm telling you, when you look at verse number 2, what you find is absolute obedience of the man of God to the word of God. You know, it's not easy to just get up and just preach a sermon. What I mean by that is that sometimes God puts messages on a man of God's heart, and sometimes he dreads the message as much as he knows the people might dread hearing that message. You see, there are just some things you don't want to preach on, and there are just some things you don't want to have to deal with, but sometimes you have to. Y'all with me tonight? And sometimes you know that it's going to be accepted, and sometimes you know it may not be accepted, but if it is God's word and if it's God's message for the hour, then the man of God must swallow it. Amen. What I'm saying to you, anything I'd ever preach to you, God expects me to digest it myself first. Amen. It's not just supposed to be a bunch of information that's shelled out in some kind of homiletical outline, but I'll tell you what it's supposed to be, is we're supposed to digest it, meditate on it, think about it, apply it to our own life, and then come to the pulpit and preach what God told us to preach. Amen? And that's the way it is. Ezekiel had to digest the message before he could ever deliver the message here. And we notice here the consumption. Look at verse number 3. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my my mouth, notice this, as honey for sweetness. Amen. Now, you know what the Word of God is tonight for us? The Word of God is just that. It is honey for sweetness. Amen. I'm telling you, all the Word of God will help you. Can I get a witness on that? Brother, it's already been said tonight, but I like all kinds of preaching, don't you? I like the preaching that encourages us. I like the preaching that instructs us. Hey, I like the preaching that rebukes us. Amen. You know why? Because I live in the same flesh that you live in tonight. And can I tell you, I need some good old-fashioned leather lung, heartfelt preaching. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, if I ever get up here and preach and it skins your hide, I want you to know this. 9 out of 10 times, it skinned my own hide. Amen. Because flesh is flesh. It doesn't matter who it is. And Ezekiel had to consume the message. You know why? Because the message is going to consume Ezekiel. Amen. Brother, that's the way preaching is. You take it in, it gets in you, it gets on you, and it becomes who you are. And there's no peace until you deliver the sermon that God has laid upon your heart. Amen. Now, there's a difference tonight between a message and a sermon. A message is from God. And I notice here the consumption. The message is in the man. It's inside Ezekiel. The call of God is inside the man. God calls the man. He whispers into him. He speaks to his heart. It's a calling that's on his life. And God gives him the message. Now, there's a difference in preaching truth and preaching timely truth. Amen? What I mean by that is I could start tonight in the book of Genesis and just come every service. And I could preach from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Service after service. We could just take one passage at a time. And I'm not against anybody that does that. I think Brother W.A. Criswell did that at his church for a number of years. He preached all the way through the Bible. I think J. Vernon McGee did that, preached all the way through the Bible. I'm not against anybody that does that. But what I'm saying tonight is that there's a difference in just giving out truth and timely truth. Amen? Brother, I'm telling you, we could all testify tonight about times that God laid a message on a man's heart. He didn't know anything about anything, but he got up and preached. I'm telling you, God just read our mail. God just hand-delivered a sermon. He just put it in our mailbox, and you knew and I knew it was exactly what we needed. Amen. I've seen God do something. I've seen him do a lot, and you have too, but I've seen him do something here one time I'll never forget. In a revival meeting, and there was a situation that I couldn't do anything about. And the preacher came in and he knew absolutely nothing about the situation. I hadn't told one soul. Hadn't even said a word to my wife about the situation. I was just praying, God, would you help this matter? I don't want to put this burden on nobody. Didn't even want to burden my wife about it. But I said, God, would you please help us in this revival? I'm telling you, that preacher come in there. I don't know what he had been chewing on. But I tell you, God put the message in it. He preached on Monday night, and I mean, he walked all over, walked up one side down and back down that issue. I mean, crossways, every way possible. And I thought, my Lord, I mean, I just about wanted to get up and testify and say, please stop before I get in trouble. Amen. I wanted to go to somebody and say, hey, just want you to know I didn't tell the preacher nothing. Amen. Now, I tell you, God put his roll down inside of him, and I'm telling you, he consumed it, and it came out. Amen. It did not only come out Monday night, but he come back Tuesday night, and I'm telling you, he fired down the same hole again. I'm telling you, on Wednesday, he fired down the same hole again. You say, what did God do? I'm telling you, in 3 nights, he took care of a situation that was beyond my capability. It was beyond my control, and the church dodged a major bullet, amen, and God, all I could do was go home. I'm telling you, I shouted for about 3 weeks on that. I said, dear God, thank you. Old time preaching, amen. I'm telling you, it'll clean out all the gutters, amen. It'll clean out all the rough places. I thank God for when a preacher gets full of the Holy Ghost and God puts something in him and he's got a timely truth to say, amen. And so there is the consumption. And then notice the confession in verse number 3. He says in verse number 3, I've already read it. He said it was honey for sweetness. Now, what that means is as I've already mentioned, all the Word of God is sweet, isn't it? You know, I don't know how to explain this, but I know you can identify with it. I don't know how to tell you, a man can get up and just peel hide and preach against my flesh and tell me how sorry and how low down it is and how wicked and ungodly, and I mean, he can just clean my clock and somehow you're sitting there enjoying it. He's tearing you up, but at the same time, boy, that's good preaching. I'm talking about when a man preaches against adultery, when he preaches against fornication, when he preaches against drunkenness and gambling and gossip and jealousy and pride, just naming everything I can think of. I'm talking about when he just calls it all out. I'm talking about when he starts preaching on dressing right and living right, amen, and doing right. When he preaches against going to the movie house, when he preaches against listening to rock music and country music, I'm just naming stuff. Won't y'all, some of y'all not enjoying this, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen. I'm telling you, when I hear that kind of preaching, I just say, thank you, Lord. I sure need that kind of preaching. I don't want to listen to none of that mess. But I'm telling you, when a man of God blows it out, I'm telling you, I just enjoy it. Amen. I know there's a liberal crowd and a modern crowd. They don't like it. But I say, give me that old-time religion. I say, give me that old-time preaching where a man of God will get plugged in and he'll preach with the anointing of God. I want to man of God that'll just plow her deep, amen, and call sin for what it is. Hallelujah. And even when I'm guilty, somehow that word is sweet, isn't it? I've sat and heard preaching. I thought, oh, that hurt, that hurt, that hurt, and that hurt. And I thought, and then I go to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry for this, I'm sorry for that, and I'm sorry for this. And then get in the car and tell my wife, say, man, wasn't that good preaching? You ever done that? That's what the Word of God does. You know why it's so good? It's repulsive to the flesh, but the spiritual side loves it. The role that Ezekiel is given, the responsibility. Look at verse number 4. Ezekiel knows who's sinning, and he said unto me, he knows who sent him. He knows where he sent him. He said, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel. Amen. And he knows why he sent him. He said, speak with my words unto them. He knows who sent him. It was God that sent him. He knows where he has been sent. He's been sent to the house of Israel, and he knows why he's been sent. That is to speak what God has laid upon his heart. I don't know a whole lot, amen, but I do know who called me to preach, amen. I do know where I'm supposed to be at. I'm standing right where I'm supposed to be at tonight, amen. I don't know a whole lot, but I know I'm right smack dab in the center of God's will tonight, and I know why God sent me here is to preach the Word of God, amen. I'm not the best preacher, but I know that God has called me to preach, and I'm telling you, if you're a God-called preacher, you know that tonight. And if you've ever sat under God-called preaching, you know the difference when a man's called and when he's not called. Amen. I want to say tonight, this crowd, they were familiar. Look what the Bible says. For thou art not sent to a people, verse 5, of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. They knew Ezekiel. They were familiar. They were not foreign. Look what he said in verse 6. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened. Foreigners would have listened. But, verse 7, the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me, God said. God said, Ezekiel, I'm going to send you down there to preach a sermon. You have a responsibility to preach the message, but they're not going to listen to you because they won't listen to me. You know why some people don't like old-fashioned preaching? Because they don't like to be reminded of what God says. Why do you think people leave old-fashioned churches and go to this contemporary, modern, liberal mess? Because it's where they're always told how wonderful they are. Everything is watered down and sugar-coated. And any preacher that's worth his salt, they call him a fear-monger. He just puts fear in people. I'll tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I watch that crowd that always talks about not making people afraid. Amen. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. The Bible teaches the fear of the Lord. That's a reverential respect, amen. I don't go around worried about God zapping me with lightning or hitting me over the head with a baseball bat. I know he loves me, amen. I want to serve him because I love him and because he loves me. But I also want to serve him because I fear him tonight. If I was to get out and sin, I thank God of putting me 6 foot under. He wouldn't let me live very long, amen. I'll tell you, there's some things to be feared, amen. But I'll tell you, he said, Ezekiel, you've got a responsibility. It's not about the results. It's about the responsibility. A man of God has a responsibility to be true and to be faithful to the word of God that he preaches and to the God that has called him and to deliver his burden. It doesn't matter if he has a house full or a handful. It doesn't matter if he's preaching to 5 or 500. I'm telling you, God will measure that man based on his faithfulness to preach the word of God. Sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. I tell you, I look back through life, and I thank God for preachers that just preached it like it was. I think about times when God's men would get up and preach, and I'd be sitting there as a young person listening to that preacher preach, and I knew, I mean, he was plowing it up. And I thought, man, that took some grit. But really, it wasn't grit. It was God. Because those same men would be so kind and tender when the sermon was over with. They loved the people of God. But when they got in that pulpit to preach, they had a burden. And the burden is so overwhelming that the preacher forgets everybody that is there and he preaches the sermon. You see, you can't preach worrying about deep pockets. You can't preach worrying about the number on the board. You can't preach worrying about pats on the back. But you can preach if you worry about sleeping good at night and having peace with God. Amen. I remember one time, Brother Sammy Allen was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, tobacco country. I mean, if you've been through Winston, you know that. It's still today, everywhere you go. And he got up to preach that night and he said, well, I know where I'm at. I'm in the big city of Winston. And he said, I know this isn't popular. But boy, here he went. He started preaching on them Winstons. And I mean, he was nailing it. You say, how did that go over? About like you think it went over. Half of that crowd worked and was employed in the tobacco factories. But he preached it anyway. I tell you, one thing you can say about Brother Allen is that he was faithful to the Word of God. It didn't matter where he went, didn't matter what size of crowd, he preached the same everywhere he went. Well, he went to one church one night. I wouldn't dare say where it was at, but I told my wife, I said, I can't believe he's preaching here. I said, do they know? Have they ever even heard him preach? I wondered. I mean, had they ever even heard him? From the looks of that crowd tonight, I don't think they had ever heard him preach. But he preached, and he preached, and if you know him, he preached, and he preached, and he preached some more. And I remember sitting there thinking, half this crowd's mad. They fixing to, some of them, I mean, ready to walk out. But when he gave the invitation, I can't remember exactly, but I think there was 6 or 7 or 8 people got saved that night. That's the kind of men we need in this country. Men that they'll preach not for the applause or to be seen, but they have a responsibility. Preachers have a great responsibility not to fill a church, but to fill a pulpit. Jesus said, I'll build my church. A man of God has a responsibility to fill the pulpit and to tell the people the truth. Amen. And finally, the revelation that Ezekiel is given. He goes ahead and tells him, he said, these are hard-hearted people in verse number 7. They're not going to hearken unto you. They're hard-hearted. Tells them in verse 8, they're hard-headed. He said, behold, I've made thy face strong against their faces and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. You know, you would think the house of Israel would receive the word of God of the prophet because they were God's people. But they had wandered so far out into idolatry and worldliness
that they no longer wanted to hear what God's men said. Now listen to me tonight. You've seen this happen. When people are right with God, they love preaching. And they love preachers. But you let people let idolatry and worldliness get in their heart, and all of a sudden things start changing, don't they? They don't love preaching like they used to love preaching. And that's a serious thing for every one of us tonight, myself included. We need to do inventory. If we ever get to the place, and maybe somebody, you're here like that tonight, where you don't like the preaching that's helped you all the years that you've been under, all of a sudden something has changed. I'm going to tell you something. The preacher hadn't changed. The Word of God hadn't changed. The church hasn't changed. But idolatry, worldliness will cause you to not love the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. That's talking about nothing in this book will offend you when you have great peace with God. You love the law, you love the Word of God, nothing offends you. How many people tonight, think about this, and I'm going to close in just a moment. How many people tonight have shipwrecked their homes, their marriages, ruined the lives of their children because they did not listen to the man of God when he preached the Bible to them? I'm telling you, there's a lot of casualties, isn't there? You could go up and down the aisles of this church just about like any church you go to. People tonight, they're not even in church. Their children's not in church. Some of their children never got saved because they got crossed up about something. Preacher, why are you telling me that tonight? It's just a lesson. Stay, if you're hard-hearted, the opposite is to be tender-hearted, isn't it? Let preaching drive you to the altar. Never let it drive you out the door. Let it drive you to your knees. Let it break up the fallow ground. When you hear that preaching and it rubs you the wrong way, it might be this week. I don't know what God will tell Brother Mark to preach, but if he comes in here and preaches on heaven every night, I'm good with that. And if he comes in here and preaches on sin every night, we're good with that, aren't we? God knows what we need tonight. I'm telling you, if he comes in tomorrow night and he nails me the whole sermon, well, I need it. I need it tonight. But don't let preaching keep you from coming to God. Don't sit and say no to the Holy Ghost when he takes a message and deals with your heart. You say yes to him. Amen. It's a big deal that God spoke to Ezekiel. And so go down. Think about the mercy of God to say, Ezekiel, I want you to go down there and preach this sermon, and they're not going to listen to you. Nobody's going to listen to you because they're not listening to me. But I'm still going to send them a message. That's the mercy of God, isn't it? And it's also going to witness against them in the day of judgment. I tell you, we'll have to give an account for what we hear. To whom much is given, much is required. Let's don't ever get used to it tonight as we stand.